On a day.
What do you want? Our dark forces will fail. Human forces building a weapon that could bring about the end of our kind.
Where superheroes rose.
Why would I trust you? You wouldn't.
You were made to be ruled.
And Podcasters United.
What do?
We get ready. There was an idea to bring together a group of remarkable people. Gentlemen.
And on the day. The Marvel cast was born. News, reviews, and superhero-sized commentary.
If we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn sure we'll avenge it.
Enough! You are all of you beneath me. I am a god, you dull creature, and I will not be bullied by that.
Marvel Cast, Earth's mightiest podcast.
Anyone else?
Now, join your hosts, Dave Senden and Mark Herleman. Podcasters, assemble!
Dr. Banner, your work is unparalleled, and I'm a huge fan of the way you lose control and turn into an enormous green rage monster.
And welcome back, kids, to this latest episode of Marvel Cast, Earth's Mightiest Podcast, the only show on the interwebs that is suitable for all ages, including the Age of Ultron. I am your host, David Senden, the master wielder of the Infinity Gauntlet, and with me is my co-host, Mark Herleman. Oh, wait, what? What? Hang on, what happened? Oh, gang, you know what? Sometimes, scheduling being what it is, this whole, syncing up who with who and whatnot, in the realm of podcasting, sometimes it doesn't work out quite the way you want it. Mark Herleman, sadly, could not be here with this show, but I'm sure he'll be on other episodes of Marvel Cast. I guarantee it. Well, hopefully guaranteed. But fear not, I am here to plow with you through all the Marvel goodness we have. And boy, do we have plenty of it. First up, I will be discussing with you the trailers for Avengers Age of Ultron and Ant-Man. Yeah, that's right. Ant-Man. Don't adjust the volume on your iPod. You heard it right. Ant-Man. I know. Even as I say, that sounds kind of ridiculous. But, hey, you know what? To be fair, it was the 80s when they invented most of this stuff. They came up with all kinds of crazy, crazy things. So, oh well. But, let's get into Marvel's Avengers Age of Ultron.
This vulnerable world needs something more powerful than any of us. Everyone creates the thing be something you don't understand.
We have no place in the world.
Holy crap, look at that. Oh man, that was something else. Can you tell right now my head is caving in from all that awesome 2 minutes? Oh Jesus Christ. All right, Marvel, I'll lay it out on the table right now. Do not show me anything else for this movie. No, nothing else. You have me at hello. Oh, yes. I went all Jerry Maguire on you. Dude, do not. I want that holy crap moment. I mean, Iron Man, Hulk, Hulkbuster armor. Oh, gee, I'm sold right there. I'm serious, game. I cannot get out coherent thought with how awesome this trailer is, but I'm going to try. I am seriously going to try. All right, this movie... Oh, what else can I say other than my geek out moment right there? What else can I say? But no, this just looks killer. I mean, everything we loved about the first Avengers movie times 10. No, times infinity for that matter. I mean, my goodness, man. Could Joss Whedon have done any better? I ask you, could he have done any better? Answer after watching this? Absolutely not. He can... Oh, dude. You know, I keep wondering, with everything that's going down in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and what, especially what's going to happen in this movie, I ask one large question. What the hell is Thanos going to do? I mean, we know that's what they're building up to. That's what this whole, MCU building block has been. By the way, DC, good luck catching up. I had to get my little dig in there to DC fanboys. But, no, seriously, DC, good luck catching up. But, good Lord, what is Thanos going to do? It seems like there's going to be nothing left for Thanos other than picking from scraps. But, oh dear God. This movie looks absolutely incredible. Just top notch, Joss Whedon. Top notch. You've done it again, my boy. You've done it again. He's got to be tuckered out, you know, after the last movie and this movie. He's got to be tired as all get out. And I'm like, Marvel, you know, just let him do what he wants. You know, I've been hearing rumblings that he may not do the Avengers 3. Or, you know, the Avengers 3 that's part 1 and part 2, apparently. That may be Joe and Anthony Russo. And I'm just like, you know what? Either way, I'd be sad to see Joss Whedon not do it. But either way, I will say this. Joss Whedon has earned every right in the world to just, you know, walk away. I mean, he has delivered a great Avengers first movie, and this trailer shows he has delivered tenfold with the sequel. And besides, what I would want to see him do a Firefly reunion movie, to tell you the truth. I mean... You know, it's Serenity 2, 10 years later. It's not too late, Joss. That's all I'm saying. all I'm saying on the matter. This is not a Firefly podcast, but hey, you know what? It's Whedon, and I'm a fan of that too, so... Oh, I'm a fan of many things in the geek bucket, as we like to call it here. So, but no, this movie, oh dear Lord. I will say this, as a comic book fan, I am a little perturbed that, you know, the creator of Ultron, they're not going the Hank Pym route like the comics, but going the Tony Stark route. I am a little perturbed there, but when you think of how they've set up the MCU going from the first Iron Man up till now, it's, especially with the Iron Man character, it makes the absolute sense that they would go with Tony Stark being responsible for bringing Ultron forward. I mean, look at just Tony alone from the first Iron Man, you know, from that to Iron Man 2 to Iron Man 3. I mean, just, it makes absolute sense. So, is it a hang-up? Sure, but it's not much of a hang-up because they've already delivered some awesome movies in the MCU anyway, so. And the additions of Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, let's just say, at first I wasn't quite feeling Elizabeth Olsen, but, you know, now that I think about it more and more, I'm just like, I'm telling you, man, she may pull a surprise on everybody, you know. And Aaron Taylor Johnson is Quicksilver. I'm just hoping for a better Quicksilver because I wasn't quite feeling the X-Men Days of Future Past Quicksilver. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love X-Men Days of Future Past. Absolutely adore that film, but the Evan Peters Quicksilver, yeah, I wasn't quite digging it. So I'm like, you know what? As long as Joss Whedon gives me a Quicksilver I can believe in, which I'm pretty sure he will, that's fine by me. That's really fine by me. But no, this film, what else is there to say except for one simple thing? Is it May yet? Is it May yet? Come on, really, is it May yet? Come on, May, get here. I'm speechless. This film has left me speechless. That's the best I can tell you.
Second chances don't come around all that often. I suggest take a really close look at it. This is your chance to earn that look in your daughter's eyes, to become the hero that she already thinks you are. It's not about saving our world. It's about saving theirs.
You know, gang, there once was a time where we just, you know, and I say once was a time, I mean just a few years ago, where we just had one Marvel movie and that was it. That was done. We had to wait. You know, it was like, yeah, we'll tease you with one carrot and then we'll pull it from you. Not so much anymore. We are getting, yes, we're getting Age of Ultron in May, but just a few short months later, we get Marvel's Ant-Man in July. Now I know what you're thinking. Wait, Ant-Man? That's weird, isn't it? Well, you know, honestly, I'm excited for the film. Don't get me wrong there. But honestly, I think after Guardians of the Galaxy came out and was a smash, I think Ant-Man is just further proof that Marvel's getting cocky. You know, I mean, seriously, as they roll on, Marvel's getting extremely cocky in some areas. But Ant-Man, no, I'm excited for the film. I am glad, however, that they have a comedian in the title role. I mean, just the fact that having Paul Rudd, right? Having Paul Rudd as Scott Lang. Just having a comedian cast in the title role tells me one thing right off the bat. Is that it's kind of a casting that acknowledges the, okay, yeah, we get it. Ant-Man, the name is kind of dumb. As a matter of fact, I absolutely love the fact that, well, first of all, two things. One, when Michael Douglas says, Scott, I need you to be the Ant-Man. And Paul Rudd's like, huh. He's calling out right there. He's calling out how I'm sure, you know, this is the little thing saying, okay, he's confused and the audience is equally as confused. And on top of that, I love the little moment where, in, you know, Paul Rudd says in the dialogue, they call out the fact that the name is stupid. Is it too late to change the name? I mean, seriously, good. I love those moments. I do find it odd, though, that because originally this was supposed to be Edgar Wright, okay? And we all know, you know, that for whatever reason, you know, he and Marvel parted ways. That's fine. That happens all the time in filmmaking. It's not a unique thing to Marvel. It happens everywhere. I mean, It just does, right? So, but, you know, what is interesting is that we got I would say, fairly decent trailer for a movie from the guy who brought us Spirit Fingers. Yeah, that guy, Peyton Reed. I just find it interesting that the guy who made you know, ditzy cheerleaders seemed like a good thing. And believe me, it was. I'm not hating on that movie. I did love Bring It On. Okay? Yes, it's one of my guilty pleasures. I admit it. I love Bring It On. It's the sequels I didn't really care for. But to me, those never happened. What? But I find it interesting that the guy who brought us Spirit Fingers is bringing us Ant-Man. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but that just makes me chuckle just a wee little bit, right? Just a bit. But no, I'm excited for Ant-Man. It looks fun, and it's a heist film, from my understanding, and you know what? You know, this is where Marvel has me. I am a sucker for a good heist movie. Just a sucker for it. So, I need to see more, though. I need to see more out of this trailer. I need to see more of a hook. You know, because case in point, Avengers Age of Ultron gives you that hook, right? Whereas Marvel's Ant-Man, I have yet to see a hook in this trailer. Now, I'm sure if you were to show me, like, you know, some fighting from Wasp, or show me the villain of the film, show me Yellowjacket. I'm sure that would be more of that hook I'm looking for. But for now, you know, it's a fairly decent trailer. It's not a bad trailer by any stretch of the imagination, but it's not one that has that hook like Avengers Age of Ultron does. Because let's be honest, Hulkbuster, that's enough of a hook just to get me to see it. I'm just like, I don't care what else you put in there. It's freaking Hulkbuster, for Pete's sake. But no, I just need more of a hook in the Ant-Man trailer, that's all.
With all due respect, Thanos, your daughter made this mess, and yet you summon me.
I would lower my voice, accuser.
Yes, she lost a battle with some prince.
Tell us, but Gamora under your charge.
When she was apprehended by the Nova Corps.
You are the one here with nothing to show for it.
Your sources say that she meant to betray us the whole time.
Now I'm your turn! I begin you!
I only ask that you take this matter seriously. The only matter I do not take seriously, boy, is you. Your politics bore me. Your demeanor is that of a pouty child. And apparently, you alienated my favorite daughter, Gamora. I shall honor our agreement, Kree, if you bring me the Orb. But return to me again empty-handed, and I will bathe the Stalways in your blood.
Now, again, as we talk about the movies that'll make up Marvel's Phase 3, let's start with the obvious one. The one that was, well, let's just say, a sequel to a movie that was the biggest unexpected hit of last summer. I mean, of course, I'm talking about Guardians of the Galaxy, which just came out and was a huge smash. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not saying unexpected as bad. You know, Guardians of the Galaxy was one of those where, when I first heard about it, I felt like, who? Yeah, like that one guy Star-Lord tries to convince at the beginning of the movie. But, you know, because on the one side, I was like, I appreciate seeing Marvel be this, well, what's the word? Gutsy? Taking obscure characters and giving them a personality and everything. And it was just, I'm at a loss for words. So let's hear James Gunn talk about it in this clip for Guardians of the Galaxy 2 announcement, shall we?
Hey everybody, this is James Gunn. I'm sorry I can't be there with you. I'm here in Tokyo, Japan, serving as a jury member on the Tokyo International Film Festival, but I wanted to let you all know that I'm working very hard on the script for Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I'm very excited about the movie, so excited in fact, that I don't want to have to wait until July of 2017 for the movie to be released. I think we'd rather release the movie in May of 2017. I think that sounds right. May 5th, 2017 is a new release date for Guardians of the Galaxy 2 so that we can spend the whole summer with you guys.
Now, I will say, gang, this next one, I'm really excited for, because let's be honest, I've wanted Marvel to do this ever since, well, the Marvel Cinematic Universe began. But, of course, they were building up to it. They couldn't. So I'm like, oh, okay, I'll wait. But I was still pining, really pining away for this one. And you know what? As strange as it sounds, it is. Marvel is finally doing a Doctor Strange film, introducing a new element into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I mean, let's be honest, isn't Marvel always doing that?
Dr. Strange, I think I've been talking about Dr. Strange since the day I was born. Because I love it, because it's very, very important to us, and because it takes us a while to work on these movies before we're ready to stand in front of you and announce them. But Dr. Strange is finally coming to theaters. Scott Derrickson is working on it right now. The director, Scott Derrickson, is working on it. We have a great writer named John Spacer who's working on the draft, telling the story of Dr. Stephen Strange, a brilliant neurosurgeon, bit of an arrogant fellow who gets into a car crash and ruins what he believes are the tools of his trade, his hands. And a downward journey starts for him that leads him to stranger and stranger corners of the world where he encounters quacks and all sorts of things that aren't going to help his hand until he meets one person named the Ancient One who helps him tap into what excites us the most about this new franchise, which is the supernatural. And in the Marvel Cinematic Universe version of the supernatural, that involves everything from quantum mechanics to string theory to parallel dimensions, all of which, if you meet the Ancient One and train to become a master of the mystic arts and maybe even become the Sorcerer Supreme one day, you can manipulate with your hands and your thoughts. The idea of this film is to open up an entire new corner of the cinematic universe. Again, right out of the comic books, the whole supernatural element is a huge part. We have our earthbound heroes, we have our cosmic heroes. We now want to enter through with Strange this world of parallel dimensions. Scott, as I said, is working very hard on creating visuals, the likes of which we haven't seen in any Marvel movie before, and we hope the likes of which you've never seen in any movie ever. So that's Doctor Strange coming in November 2016.
Now, oh my gosh, this next one, I absolutely adore that they are doing this film. That Marvel is finally bringing this character to the big screen. And you know what? I'm looking at it closely because unlike, say, DC, yeah, I'm going to talk about those guys for a few minutes. Even though it's a Marvel podcast, I'm going to look at DC. Unlike DC, I want Marvel to cast this role right. I mean, yeah, you know what? Wonder Woman, if I can talk about DC for a moment, Wonder Woman is such an iconic female character that I'm just like, I don't know. The casting of Gal Gadot, no. You know what? I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure she'll do great. I don't want to be one of those fanboys. Besides, I'm more of a Marvel guy anyway, so there you go. But I was not that convinced when I first heard that cast. I'm like, what the? Seriously? Really? Anyway, let's keep it Marvel here. But no, Marvel is finally bringing the most iconic female action role to the screen in the form of Captain Marvel, and I couldn't be more excited by it.
Captain Marvel. Now let me clarify, Captain Marvel's gone by many names in the comics, has had many people who have inhabited that costume, used that power base. I want to make it very clear that this Captain Marvel's name is Carol Danvers. This film has been in the works almost as long as Doctor Strange, almost as long as Guardians of the Galaxy was before it came out. And one of the key things was figuring out how to do what we really wanted to do with it, which was introduce one of, if not the most powerful hero into the entire MCU. One who also straddles two worlds. Her origins are very much earthbound, and yet her adventures and her power base is very much comes from the cosmic realm. Guardians of the Galaxy came out. The audiences of the world told us they love that cosmic realm. So this was the time to bring out Carol Danvers as Captain Marvel for the very first time.
Now, honestly, gang, with this film, did we not see this element happening in the MCU? I mean, if you pay close enough attention, now I know, and I admit general audiences usually don't, but I'm talking to the Marvelite hardcore sweaty nerds. But if you were watching every single Marvel film, they were always hinting at, sprinkling in there, setting up this whole, you know, Black Panther and the Prince of Wakanda. Well, guess what? we're finally getting a Black Panther movie in Phase 3. Yes, very exciting stuff. And I can't say how much they knocked this casting out of the park. And yeah, you know, since he played Jackie Robinson, I guess that's a very clever baseball joke. But they cast Chadwick Boseman as Black Panther. And you know what? I will just say again, Marvel, bravo. You hit it out of the ballpark. Literally.
T'Challa himself and all of Wakanda is one of the most unique, interesting, fascinating, and integral characters in the entire Marvel Comics history. We want him to become that in the Marvel Cinematic Universe history. And in fact, we have already started seeding things in the films leading up to this moment and to the reveal of his. And as a matter of fact, something I already showed you today contained an Easter egg that leads directly to the Black Panther. He is very, very exciting for us, tapping into the advanced African nation of Wakanda and all that comes with it, the family drama. He's a bit of a prince. He may become a bit of a king, but it's also about how this isolationist country of Wakanda needs to meet the world. Maybe it goes well, maybe it doesn't. We will find out. November 3rd, 2017.
Now, again, this entry in the MCU for Phase 3, I find the most interesting film. Not only is it the 20th film by the time they reach then, 2018, of course, but it is, you know, I'm going to hypothesize right here, right now, with all you guys, because, you know, I just love you that much. But my guess is that this film is the MCU's answer for not having X-Men in their universe. I mean, granted, because there's the whole, yeah, Fox owned it and blah, blah, blah. We could spend hours just talking about that whole thing, but, you know, why bother? But Inhumans, I really do think that this is the MCU's answer for, you know, that not having X-Men thing. So, but, you know, let's hear what Kevin Feige has to say about Inhumans.
We really do believe that the Inhumans can be a franchise and perhaps series of franchises onto themselves. They are the Inhumans. They have dozens of different power bases. They have an amazing social structure in which you go through these Terrigen mists and you don't know what you're going to become on the other side, which gives amazing character drama that we love to play with and tons of spectacular new powers, new effects. With the 20th movie, it felt time to continue to further refine and further expand what the cinematic universe is all about.
Now, gang, before we get into the news portion of the show, where we do have a tantalizing piece of news that, well, let's be honest, is going to, I'm going to make a clever pun here, create a web in the MCU. That's right. Maybe I gave our news topic away. I don't know. But, yeah, we'll get to that later. But this film is going to be really interesting. Thor Ragnarok. Now, I know to comic book nerd fans, they're geeking out going, Ragnarok? Oh my god, a huge apocalyptic freakout mess on Asgard. And you'd be right. Yeah, I'm excited about it as well. I mean, Chris Hemsworth again comes back as Thor. Why wouldn't he? You know, he's a god of thunder and whatnot. And, of course, where there's Thor, there's got to be Loki, right? I mean, Loki's always causing being a pain in Thor's side. So there's got to be Loki, right, guys?
Chris Hemsworth is returning as Thor. Of course, Tom Hiddleston returning as Loki. I knew this audience would know what that strange word means, Ragnarok. Well, what we will do between now and the release of this movie is educate the rest of the world as to what that word means, and it's a very important word that means, essentially, the end of all things. This is a very important movie for us in our Phase 3 timeline, as the Russos did so well, reinventing Captain America in the Winter Soldier and changing everything that would come after it. That is the plan for Thor Ragnarok, to take Thor to another level of his own franchise and in fact picks up right after we leave him in Avengers 2, and will impact everything to come afterwards. Thor Ragnarok.
Now, gang, this next film I'm going to talk about is I'm one where I'm really, really intrigued by it because, you know, like Guardians of the Galaxy, where it was so obscure, I didn't know how it was going to work. And then, of course, it came out and, well, need I say more? It made an insane amount of money. But this film, Marvel's Inhumans, coming out in 2018, and I believe I know one crucial thing with this film. They are most likely doing this film, you know, apart from having more characters, the potential for more franchises, spin-offs from that franchise, you know, all the typical Hollywood jargon. But I would imagine they are doing this film to answer the single question of what do we do to fill the gap with the fact that we don't have X-Men to play with. I mean, let's be honest, even though X-Men is Marvel characters, they're not all at Marvel. And yeah, this breaks my heart. You know, X-Men, Fantastic Four, and Spider-Man. Well, wait a minute, I stand correct that we do have some Spider-Man news to talk about before we finish, but X-Men and Fantastic Four are at Fox. And of course, any long box prone geek knows all these guys used to run around together in the comics. So I, for one, just wish Disney would do Marvel solid and buy every single, you know, comic book rights thing and put it back in Marvel's favor. Because at that point, we could get the films we want instead of the films we've actually been getting. Which, don't get me wrong, are amazing films. I mean, Winter Soldier just killed it. Absolutely amazing films. Guardians of the Galaxy, I have so much fun watching that. People, it is not a Star Wars. It is its own thing. Stop comparing it to Star Wars, please. Star Wars is its own beast. Star Wars is one of those franchises where all these other franchises might as well still have their training wheels on. But, okay, enough of my Star Wars pedestal. That's for a different show entirely. But let's hear Kevin Feige talk about Marvel's Inhumans. Now, I will say, gang, this one little detail, one small little nugget about, you know, the Inhumans movie. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which Mark and I will be doing later on this year, a spin-off show, Podcasters of S.H.I.E.L.D., that should be coming relatively soon, so just, you know, ironing out details, you know, time is not a podcaster's friend, you know, stuff like that. But Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is a show that is improving by the day, did not start out real well off the bat, but it's getting better. It's kind of like Agents of Rehab. But what it's doing now with their Inhumans kind of thread that's running through the season, If that's any indication, I can tell you right now that come 2018, Inhumans is going to be the strangest film Marvel's ever done. I mean, hands down. I will make a bet right now. strangest film they've ever done. Which is saying a lot, considering Guardians of the Galaxy was pretty strange. I mean, a tree and a talking raccoon? Really? Okay? Now, again, here is the moment that I was talking about earlier in the program. The sky somehow opened up, God came down and delivered Spider-Man to the masses. That's right. Somehow, beyond all rational thought for any fan, Spider-Man gets to swing with the likes of Hulk, Thor, Iron Man, Captain America, all of them. Just like in the comics, making the MCU one step closer to how we've all been reading these issues. Oh, that is probably the biggest news. Biggest of all big. I mean, granted, any bigger would be, you know, Fox being in the same trouble boat as Sony and Marvel having to bail them out as well. Which, to be honest with you, that will never happen, so I kind of feel that's why Marvel, like I said, that's why Marvel is doing the Inhumans to sort of fill that X-Men spot so they can have a MCU that's as broad and vast and, well, just as geeky as any of their comic issues, to be honest with you. Now, this is not, you know, the rights are back at Marvel, you know, like the rights for Daredevil swung back to Marvel and we got that Netflix Daredevil series, which I have yet to watch, but, you know, give me a chance. It's only still new here. But what it is, you know, again, we're all aware that the good ship SS Sony was having trouble the last few years. And that movie, The Interview with Seth Rogen and James Franco, that whole situation really didn't help them at all. That combined with Spider-Man 2, the amazing Spider-Man 2's box office results. No, box office did just fine. I like ragging on it, but, you know, let's just say a lot of things came together that made this happen. But what it is, you know, Sony and Marvel are basically working together, and Spider-Man's going to be shared between both. That's right. I mean, Spider-Man, he'll debut in the MCU in Captain America Civil War, which, let's be honest, you can't do the Civil War storyline and not have Spider-Man. I mean, that's just impossible, right? And then in July of 2017, we get the solo Spider-Man movie. Yep, that's right. Again, another Spider-Man movie. But, you know, rest assured, for people that say, oh, it's the same old, it's not. Kevin Feige has basically said they are not doing Spider-Man's origin again. Absolutely not. Not doing Spider-Man's origin. Yeah, you heard right. He's not doing it. So that's reassuring. That's refreshing. And Kevin Feige did confirm that it's the Peter Parker iteration of Spider-Man. You know, sorry, fanboys, there was talk about it being Miles Morales. But I'm like, at the end of the day, that really didn't make much sense. I mean, the press release, if you read the press release when the news came forward, it said Sony and Marvel furthering the adventures of Peter Parker. Emphasis on the word Parker. I mean, come on. It's in a freaking press release, you know? That should be a little bit of a clue. But no, let's have a listen at what Kevin Feige has to say about Spider-Man and the MCU.
A lot of us are so excited that you're involved with the next Spider-Man movie. Can you talk a little bit about the age of Spider-Man in the movie? A lot of people have said 16, and some have said early 20s.
We want to play with Spider-Man in the high school years because, frankly, you know, there have been 5 Spider-Man films. And the amazing thing about it is even though there have been 5 Spider-Man films, there's so many things from the comics that haven't been done yet. Not just characters or villains or supporting characters, but sides to his character. Sort of the most obvious being, the young, doesn't quite fit in kid before his powers, and then the fellow that puts on a mask and swings around and fights bad guys and doesn't shut up. Which is something we want to play with and we're excited about. But also, you know, I think it was you know, midway through the first film, he graduated high school. The beginning of the second Mark Webb film, he graduated high school. And some of my favorite Spider-Man arcs and Spider-Man stories, he's in high school for a lot of it. And we want to explore that. That also makes him very, very different from any of our other characters in the MCU, which is something else we want to explore, is how unique he is in when now put against all of these other characters. So in terms of the age of an actor we'll eventually cast, I don't know. In terms of the age of what we believe Peter Parker is, I'd say close to 15, 16 is right.
Well, there you have it, fanboys. Like every comic book panel, everything must come to a close. For Marvel Cast, Earth's Mightiest Podcast, I am your host, David Senden. You know, giving you this little taste, little tease of some Phase 3 talk. We will resume Marvel Cast episodes in late May with my co-host Mark Herleman, and we will go through the trailer for Avengers Age of Ultron. Well, wait a minute. Who wrote these notes? It's not just the trailer, it's the film! Oh! Yeah, around that time we will have the Avengers Age of Ultron movie! Oh my goodness.
I was designed to save the world. People who look to the sky and see hope. I'll take that from them first. There's only one path to peace. Their extinction.
I tried to create a suit of armor around the world. But I created something terrible.
Artificial intelligence.
It's called the Ultron Program. I'm sick of watching people pay for our mistakes.
Isn't why we fight so we can end the fight and go home?
Well, you amazingly failed.
Here we all are. With nothing but our wit and our will to save the world. So stand and fight.
No way we all get through this.
I got no plans tomorrow night.
I'm always picking up after you, boys.
We can tear them apart. From the inside.
That's the best you can do!
Gotta ask.
Yeah.